You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And you seem very surprised by what just happened there.
Yeah, what just happened?
And this faster week, than you expected.
And this week, we are doing another episode of iTunes Roulette, specifically for Magic Month and all the magic happenings during this month of magic for magical movies and magical experiences. And part of that experience is the iTunes Roulette rules, which is basically a person wears a hat. The person picking the film has four picks to get to a movie they want to watch, and then you have to watch it, and that is pretty much it.
You have 1 minute per pick.
1 minute per pick. Four picks.
So you can't dilly
dally. Four clicks. Last click means that's the movie you're watching. Are you prepared? Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Leanna?
As I think
the hat
so.
Wearer.
Do you I've have got any? A strategy, but like I don't know how it's going to pan out with whatever you guys have picked for
What's
me.
What's your strategy?
Yeah, talk us through your strategy real quick.
Well, my strategy is to try to get to one of the movies I've committed to watching so that
that's
you can
a
watch
goal,
it with
not a
me.
Strategy. Although, I guess part one of your strategy is have a goal.
Yeah.
Well, my strategy is to
her
find
goal and
an
her
actor,
strategy are the same thing.
Or like
one and the same.
Is to find an actor that's been in one of those movies and kind of try to like follow a path there if iTunes is kind enough to give it.
Do you have any guesses as to what the starting movie will be?
Yeah. All right. So for clarity, Leanna wanted us to choose a drink that was in the theme of the movie. We chose a Boulevardier. Kind of a bourbon-based cocktail with Campari, kind of red, bitter, flavorful fun.
So my first guess was going to be that we were going to watch Legally Blonde. And I don't know why, not watch, but that you were going to pick Legally Blonde. And I don't know why other than like in my gut, I felt that this could happen.
Even though it doesn't have any magical connections?
Well, I was going to say, when you reminded me that it's Magic Month and it's probably going to be magic themed, I realized that that's probably not going to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really don't know. I have
Should we
no
find out?
Idea. Yeah.
And then I will hand the remote over to you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Sesame Street. Elmo's Music Magic.
No, this is a kid's film.
I'm starting the timer.
Oh, good
handing
Lord.
Handing it over to you.
Okay, everything is Elmo. Literally everything is Elmo.
No, you have the
Secret. The Secret of Roan Inish. I've definitely watched this. Okay, this might get us into animal films.
Okay.
Then there's also just Journey. Oh, The Journey of Natty Gann.
Natty Gann.
And that has a dog.
Oh,
and then there's also The Witches.
That sounds magical.
I'm going to pass on that. So, can I get a better animal movie with Natty Gann or with Roan Inish?
Don't forget we're doing Magic Month.
We're not doing Magic Month. I'm picking Roan Inish. Okay. Okay.
That's one click.
Here we go. We've got Sunshine State, never heard of it. Honey Dripper, never heard of it. The Secret Garden. These all look so bad. Oh, there's not that many choices. Wait, The Tree of Life. Didn't that have some people in it?
Yeah. Brad Pitt's in that.
Yeah. Okay. This is my ticket out. Okay. The Tree of Life.
That's two clicks.
Whoa.
She just opened it up.
Wow.
Open it up.
You got your choice of Brad Pitt movies.
So many Brad Pitt movies. Literally, there's so many of them.
I've never seen World War Z.
Oh, man.
Whatever movie you pick here,
all
you're
going
to have to pick
good.
A related movie off of.
That's debatable, but sure.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said all of these are good. I just meant that I have, like, many good options. Okay, World War Z is going to give us some post-apocalyptic stuff. Moneyball will be sports, so that's a hard pass for me. The Martian and Interstellar could both be good options. Time Traveler's Wife is a great film.
But we won't actually get to watch it.
And then there's also Year of the Dog. It's for me, it's between The Martian and Interstellar. Is that what I want to watch tonight, though? I don't know. I just don't know.
It's up to you. You've got, like, 3 seconds.
Shit.
Two, one. Oh, you got to pick something.
I picked The Martian.
Okay.
Ooh.
You've got 1 minute to pick something here.
Oh.
Okay. Exodus, Gods and Kings, Interstellar is still an option. Huntsman, Winter's War is still an option. Battle Los Angeles.
We should definitely watch that.
Okay. Contagion, Adjustment Bureau, The Hours, Robin Hood, The Great Wall, hard pass on that, and Ant-Man.
Which one of these are not like the others?
Yeah.
Ant-Man?
Well, also Battle Los Angeles.
And The Hours seems kind of weird.
They're all weird.
Can I phone a friend? Do you guys have a preference? I'm not feeling called in either direction.
I don't really care. I don't want to watch The Adjustment Bureau.
I could see Battle Los Angeles being fun.
That's the one I'm leaning towards.
Or Huntsman Winter's War. It's more magical.
It does have Charlize Theron in it.
I mean, this is the second one, though? This is the pick.
Is this the sequel to the original Huntsman, though?
Okay. Like, you have to make a decision. You've got three.
I don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do.
One.
Okay, I'm going to go with Battle Los Angeles.
Okay.
The magic battle. Oh, look at all the options here.
Well.
Too bad.
Furious 7, Fast Furious 5, Fate of the Furious.
Yeah, we could have just watched Fate of the Furious.
Oh, the Dark Knight.
Let's not do that.
Paycheck.
Okay, all right. Well.
We are watching Battle Los Angeles.
Oh my god, guys, that's a 35%.
It has Michelle Rodriguez, though.
Oh, she is in
this. It's also got Neo, of all people.
Oh, that's why it opened up all the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, that must be it.
We can talk about Neo's hit Radio. Is it called Radio?
Maybe.
That's the reason I'm so
And Aaron Eckhart, he sounds familiar. Well, I'm sure we'll recognize him.
I'm tired of teens.
Yeah.
So done with wishes.
Did I ever tell you? I have a story about that song. Maybe I'll save it for later.
I think we should save that.
So we're really watching this.
You both are
okay with this.
There's no other options. Do you want to take some shots?
This is it. We're going.
Well, I don't really want to take shots, but I felt like I don't know.
We have to do it. This is how iTunes Roulette works.
Oh, man. This was such a weird choice for me, though, to get from, like, Sesame Street to Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What if it's just a stupid action movie?
Well, it probably will be.
Oh, no. This is going to be bad.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Can't wait to hear hear everyone's thoughts.
Well, I made a huge mistake.
We're only 17 minutes into this film. I don't think you can call mistake land.
17 minutes
yet.
Too long.
All right, so let's set this up real quick, though. What we're going to do is we're watching this on the TNT Apple TV app. So during every commercial break.
This movie is not worth the $3.99 that iTunes requests for it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's 8 commercial breaks, and they're 3 minutes each because TNT has packed this with ads.
We are going to be coming at you in 3 minute chunks, talking about this film, and then we'll do kind of like a roundup at the end. But we're just gonna like give where everyone's at.
Treat it like a made for TV
status
movie.
Updates.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm watching a made for TV movie.
I have no idea what's going on.
Based on the quality of the cinematography, the special effects, and the acting, it feels like a made for TV movie.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Aliens just landed in Tokyo, LA, and like 11 places.
I hope that is all I need to know for this.
I think that's all you need to know. I think there's been some character building, but we talked through most of it.
Yeah, we did.
We've got Nance. It should have been Aaron Eckhart.
Nancy. We're calling him Nancy.
Mustache.
There's Kearns.
Who likes flowers.
Who is not Kearns. Mustache is not Kearns.
No, Kearns is the one
There's
who
Martinez.
Is...
Kearns is the one obsessed with typography. That's how he got that nickname.
Oh, okay.
Typographical flowers, sure.
Yeah.
There's the
he's
virgin.
He's a wannabe, what's the term?
Helvetica.
No. No, the PTMT or something, remember? Future Desk Warrior or something like that.
Jeez,
keyboard.
Clean mean typing machine.
He's a future clean mean typing machine.
clean mean
typing machine.
All right. After closing, we're gonna get back to you. And we are back for another ad break.
We got 3 minutes.
What happened?
We met a dog named Glenn.
That was kind of the best thing that happened, right?
That was the best thing that happened.
He's a German Shepherd. He's happy. His name is Glenn with two N's.
Yes. Besides that, literally nothing else
happened. We hope he's going to come back.
Action has just like started to kick off.
I don't think we've explained anything about what has happened so far. Aliens have landed And Santa Monica has been, it's about to be bombed by the military to clear out the aliens.
Great. Our audience has now been brought up to exactly what we've seen over the course of like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The military is clearing out Santa Monica. Now they're caught up.
Aaron Eckhart, Nance, is supposed to not be there because he's trying to get out of the military.
He put in his 2 weeks.
But he's back in for one last ride.
One last
Speaking
ride.
Of one last ride, Michelle Rodriguez was billed for this film, and I have not seen her yet.
They're building suspense.
A surprising lack of Michelle Rodriguez.
Do you think that she just did like the sound effects for the aliens or something? Because
she's like really good at making clicking noises.
Yeah.
Basically like that.
Yeah.
All right. I started reading the Wikipedia article on this just because why not? And
there's
I do want
to do except watch this film.
I do want to read one line, and there's a very key word here that I want you to key into.
Mm-hmm.
You've already heard it, but either way, for our audience's sake, screenwriter Chris Bertolini tried to include humor and suspense as well as action, which he felt were important elements to help draw the audience into the drama.
I'm sorry, Craig?
Tried to?
Chris.
He tried to.
Yeah, he tried to. He did not
It must happen
succeed?
In like act two or three because we missed that in the first two sections of the movie before the commercial break.
Yes.
And it's weird watching a movie with commercial breaks.
It is.
I mean...
But it gives you something to look forward to because this is the 3 minutes that I'm talking to you guys and not watching the film.
Yeah, right.
But I'm also struggling to actually fill these 3 minutes, which
just
like
so
maybe says something.
Well,
yeah,
okay,
maybe they're
I've
happening
got,
too
quickly.
I've got
two things I'd like to point out.
Okay, you have 43 seconds to do it.
I think it's important to note that in this film, there was no sign that the aliens were hostile. We just started blowing them up.
No, right. As soon as they landed on land, they moved onto the beach and started killing people, as far as
they?
We know.
Did they?
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Yeah, because the first cinematic cut to trailers was right as someone, like, kind of, you assume, died.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like,
okay.
a missile
yeah,
was
right.
shot out.
That's right,
because
then it cut to, like, a car commercial,
okay.
and it was very
disorienting.
So
we're in the right here.
Yeah. Okay, last 10 seconds. The other thing I wanted to say was this film was 100% sponsored by the U.S. Marines.
Yes. Without doubt.
I'm signing up after this movie.
And we're back!
What
jeez. I'm just gonna, it's just gonna be more exasperated and we're back as we go through this film.
That sounds good.
What happened? More action, more
well,
combat.
Michelle Rodriguez showed the
finally.
Fuck up.
Oh, yeah,
so that happened.
Finally.
She was looking very
with the
clean.
Name of Santos. Yeah, she was looking very clean.
Very clean.
I mean, I'm gonna refer to her as Letty.
Yeah, she's Letty. Except I don't like this version of Letty so far.
She hasn't done anything
attention.
Yet. She said, hey,
I found these other dudes.
Yeah, right.
I'm the only woman in this film,
mm-hmm.
but I found these other dudes.
Besides
so.
The one who's getting married and the one who's pregnant.
Yep.
Yes, that is correct.
I hope she has a big role.
I hope so, too.
I think so. I mean, she's the second build, so...
Yeah, that's true.
According to IMDb,
right.
But we know that Aaron Eckhart got 90% of the budget. So,
right, we know that.
So that means the gender pay gap is still in effect.
Yeah, come on, guys. Work on that. Let's fix it.
Let's talk about drinking rules real quick, though.
Yeah, so you guys have been yelling some out. I'm going to read out what I have.
And we're
going to
decide here.
Yeah, this is it.
What they are.
We've got a minute and 58 seconds to
figure
this out.
And we're picking three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Drink whenever someone yells someone's name.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lanahan.
Drink whenever you see
Coconut.
The alien. Oh, that was another thing that happened. We actually saw the alien.
Yeah, we saw an alien.
Yeah,
it looked like
a
robot.
Very robotic.
It looks like
not
a droid.
Into it.
It was like a tall version
kind
of a
like
droid.
Kind of like a Cylon a little bit, too.
No, if, this
bit,
feels more
a
like
bit.
A Terminator
like,
movie. It feels like they're fighting robots.
Yeah.
I'm not into it. I'll
no,
be
me
honest.
Either.
Not
no,
into
I didn't. It,
okay, so
yeah,
maybe
I thought
they'd
be an alien, not a robot.
Drink for destruction, question mark?
No. God, no.
If we want to, like, leave tonight unready for work tomorrow, sure.
Yeah,
okay.
I have to work tomorrow.
Noted. Drink for text on the screen.
I like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I think that works.
It happens a lot.
It does.
Film.
I think that says something about the film because, like, they're not confident in how they actually present
they
it.
They don't think you're going to figure it out, so they have to tell you what's happening.
Spoiler, it's all in L.A. Like...
Okay.
You don't need to tell
and
us.
And then
it's
this is the last one that I wrote down but Let's didn't say out loud.
Okay.
Shots when Michelle Rodriguez shows up.
Well, too late. So if you do that, then I don't want to take a shot.
Well,
so
you could do like a late
I think
shot.
A shot could be fun. I could go for a shot. What shot? What would the shot be?
That can be a bonus rule also.
You Where'd you get that wrong? Figured out. Where'd you get that wrong? We got it in Cannon Beach. You want to try that?
Yeah, that's
okay.
A good shot.
That's what we're going to do. We'll be back. We're back.
We are back. Let's... All right, so we talked about drinking rules. We finalized the drinking rules, yes. Which are as follows...
Okay. Wow, someone yells someone's name. You see the alien text on the screen, and we all took a shot. That was just a bonus.
Okay. Good old bonus in there.
Yeah.
Thoughts for what has happened. We have now really gotten a good look at the alien. They're don't gross. Know how to kill him.
They're really gross looking.
There's a veterinarian.
They didn't kill the one where they threw the grenade in the pool with the alien?
They... hope that they kill them. I don't think they know
it. I think that's what
them.
You have to do. You have to throw it in a pool and then put a grenade in the pool.
That's
the only one they've killed so far, right?
Luckily, there's a lot of pools in Los Angeles, so I think they're okay on that
yeah.
front.
Yeah.
But California's in a drought. Or, this was 2009?
11.
2011 was California
in
a drought?
This movie came out in 2011?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. We've been talking a lot about how the aliens in this film look really awful, but seem to draw from aliens that are really iconic.
Yeah, we talked about how they looked a bit like the pit droid from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. And they remind me of the aliens in District 9. Although, to be fair, in both examples, those aliens are much more memorable, and that's why we're kind of calling back to them. There's literally nothing memorable about the aliens in this film.
Oh, no,
like, maybe it's just too early, and I haven't seen enough of them, but, like, I have no idea, like, I would not be able to draw them for you. They just look like amorphous objects.
See, I already feel like I've seen too much of them. And I still couldn't draw it for you. I just don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I mean, we're not halfway through the film and we've seen a full alien that they've already started to dissect, which leads me to believe that there's
I liked it better when I thought they were robots. They definitely are like flesh and blood and slime.
So this movie to me feels like it's trying to be a sci-fi movie at times.
Uh-huh.
And yet what it's missing...
And it's trying to be Black Hawk Down at times.
Yes.
It's trying to be a lot of things.
It's trying to be a lot of things. But I think where it fails most horribly is the trying to be a sci-fi movie. Because they're missing the whole scientific aspect of it. Where there's a scientist who is like with everyone else and is like explaining what's going down. He's the one who's doing the dissection. He's talking about, you know... what's caused the aliens to come here and act the way that... You know what I mean? Like,
they do have
that
the
whole
vet.
Scientific...
They just got a scientist.
They did just get a vet, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll add that aspect to it, but so far I haven't seen it.
Yeah, who apparently is going to add more to the medical discussion here than the doctor in training could have. I don't... She said, I'm a
and
vet.
Also, and also, she's like, a vet, great. But Aaron Eckhart's just, like, stabbing every visible spot on this alien that he can see.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, what are they actually going to learn from this?
Guys, we forgot to play our game. We should play it during
next
a nice
round.
Commercial break.
Because we have 10 seconds left. Any right. last thoughts?
No.
Okay.
I want to, like, confirm again that, like, I made a huge mistake. And
you
I
did.
Am sorry for that.
You have a couple
I
more ads
I can't
to
forgive you
that.
Just yet. All right. So, our new
we're
theory.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back.
Michael Pena has shown his face, shown his mug. Noted Scientologist Michael Pena.
And this brought us into a lively discussion about Scientology. Andre, would you like to refresh us on both what you thought aliens are called in Scientology and also what they're actually called?
Well, I think... I said, oh, here come the xenomorphs? Xenomorphs.
You said xenomorphs.
I said, here comes the xenomorphs.
Xenomorphs.
To which Ben and I both responded, what?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, like the Scientology aliens? And you guys said no. And I said...
Because that's the aliens aliens.
Xenu is the dictator of the Galactic Confederacy, who the one who actually brought the Tiga... Tiki-yak.
Oh.
He actually brought the Tiki-yak, the DC-8-like spacecraft, which I think we saw crash. Xenu was the one who brought that to Earth 75
million years ago. So Xenu's a bad guy?
Xenu's a bad guy because he did do the volcano thing that infected humans with Thetans.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
And those do cause spiritual harm. So we think this movie is actually kind of a modern reinterpretation of the ancient, the classic story of Xenu and the Tigiak.
Like, Leanna, you brought up a good point about, like, this interpretation of the story and its similarities.
We've seen this done before. We've seen it done with Romeo and Juliet, where they remade it in a modern day with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Romeo plus Juliet.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, they did. They did add a slight modification to the title there. So I don't think it's too much to think that perhaps this is also not a marine sponsored movie, but actually a Scientology sponsored movie.
Man, you know what I want to watch? Instead of Battle LA, Battle RJ, and watch the Xenu story told in Romeo and Juliet times. In Verona, Italy.
Okay.
All right.
And then are the Montagues or the
Capulets
the Xenomorphs? Sorry.
Or is the Xenus a third entity?
I think they're the idea of
love. They're the idea of love in
this. It's a twist.
That ultimately kills.
Which kills people.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Spiritual harm.
Yep. There you go.
There it is. All right.
Real quick. We're closing out on time, but if you had to take a guess at how many Thetans you had in your system, where would it be at? Thetans? Is that what?
Five when Thetans. I started this movie. Mm. 15 now that I've watched half of it.
That's a plus 10. Andre.
Zero. I'm clear, baby.
You're clear, man.
You've gone clear?
Yeah, I've gone clear.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
All right. In these last 8 seconds, I'm going to say I'm at like 22, and then like this film has at least increased me up to like a 23.
Wow.
Xenu did some work on you.
Okay.
And we're back.
I never expect these ad breaks.
Do you want me
to? Come out of nowhere.
I have kind of a fun segment.
Is this Scientology
update?
Okay, I
also have something, but like you can go
first. Okay, give me 1 minute. This is going to be a segment I call Read the Good Tomatoes on Rotten Tomatoes for this movie.
Wait, that actually relates to my segment.
Okay, all right.
Who likes this film?
Well, let me do mine first.
That's my segment.
Are there any top critics?
No. My whole segment is, who did they make this film for? Like, who went to this film and enjoyed it? Because it's clearly not us.
Yeah,
they made it for Ali Gray from theshiznit.co.uk.
Oh, that's a top
critic. I've gone through 2 pages, and this is the first Good Tomato I've seen. Do you want to hear the snippet of this Good Tomato?
Give it to us.
Just the worst, most cliche-ridden bunch of faceless cannon fodder you've ever had the misfortune to watch die.
Wait, and this is a positive review?
That was the first positive review.
What? Nothing in that reads is like, yeah, this is fresh.
So my theory...
It's that fresh shit.
My theory is that the people who go to see this film... Uh-huh. Are people who are maybe history and like battle nuts? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
and like want like they go to like
Civil War reenactments and they like enjoy. Like
they imagine what would happen if aliens actually came.
Yeah, so there's a certain level of science that you're interested in, but not so much that you're like me, where you're like, where's the scientist talking about the aliens?
It's like military science, where it's like. Like, this feels very textbook in a weird way, and in that it is not actually interesting.
It's like Independence Day without Jeff Goldblum.
Well, you think it's not interesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
So,
does a critic have thoughts on this?
And Leanna, what was your take on the first half? Because we're about halfway through.
Does it get good now?
We're
only halfway through. Does it get good now?
What was your take on the first half?
Oh, tell me it gets good now.
My take on the first half was that it was Independence Day without Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. Jeff Bayer from The Scorecard says... a realistic war movie gives way to melodrama and a really poor second half.
Oh,
so we saw the good half, and now we're going in to the rough
half. I have no idea what to expect out of this thing.
This is also a positive review. The few positive reviews, another one, one of the other few positive reviews of this movie, lower your standards and enjoy the ride. Another one, probably better than it has any right to be. No, that's not a glowing review.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, send Jim Lane a private message and ask him.
How did this movie get made?
Oh, man. Why I'm going to have to dig through the How Did This Get Made podcast and
either
see if they have
Scientology
one
sponsored it or the U.S. Marine sponsored it. So those are my two. Why not both, actually? Maybe both did. That would be weird.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, we've got 10 seconds left. Real quick, how many lines of dialogue do you think you actually listened to? 1, 2, 3, go.
7.
24?
I'm going to go 16.
Okay. And we'll see you at the next break.
We are back. Thank goodness for another ad. It's like a brief moment.
It's always this Mark Wahlberg ad, too.
Which is a bad ad. But it's like a brief moment in which we can breathe and like collect our thoughts and actually be okay for a moment and not slog through this film.
Not watch the film. Yes.
We're having a hard time staying off of our phones at this point.
I know. We thought this film was going to be worse because of the ad breaks, but in reality, it's actually better.
Yeah, this is a good idea, guys.
Yeah.
And we saved $4.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Thank goodness. Like, imagine paying for this film.
No.
Right.
We don't want to
give this film money.
No, we don't want them to know, oh, people are still watching Battle LA. We should try doing Battle San Diego, Battle SD. No, we don't want that.
BSD.
Andre, a few seconds ago you commented that this film is a first for me.
I want you to dive
into
that.
Can you elaborate?
I've just never seen a movie like this before. And when I say that, I mean this is a 2-hour war sequence. That's the whole thing. But the war sequence is not like based in a real war that I care about, but a war with pretend aliens that are really gross to look at, and you see them for all of like 30 seconds in this movie.
And it's not actually a good war either.
It's mostly just soldiers yelling at each other or whispering at each other and then shooting at walls.
Yep. That feels about right.
And it's just 2 hours of that. Like, it's 2 hours of yelling, whispering, and then shooting at a wall, and then whispering, and then yelling, and then shooting at a wall. And then explosions, and then the TV shows, and then there's soldiers yelling, and then they whisper to each other, and then they run and they shoot a little bit. Like,
so
that's the whole movie.
Let's pretend that...
But it's 2 hours instead of, like...
Right. So let's pretend that...
A 5-minute scene.
Instead, the first hour had been, like, exposition, like, the aliens had showed up, the battle had started. How would you fix the back half? And how much money would you have to be paid... To, like, knowingly come onto a film that was this bad of a train wreck.
You have 33 seconds. No, sorry, 20 seconds.
Like, I'm a regular person. If you paid me $2 million, I could fix it. Like, that's a lot of money.
That's a decent amount.
You
that's
could fix a it, lot of but money. But how would you fix it?
I would edit this whole thing. I'd hire a really good editor. And I would tell them to edit this whole... Everything they've shot so far into a 20-minute battle scene. And then I'd make a movie. With
all
the
right,
rest
Leanna,
of it.
You're up.
I would have a complete shift into the aliens' point of view.
Ooh.
And we would suddenly be in, like, alien HQ, and they would be explaining why they needed our water, why they had come there in the first place.
Humanize the aliens.
Exactly. Oh, humanize the aliens.
I love that.
Okay, how much are you getting paid?
Oh, anything above, like, $500,000 would be enough for me,
Ben,
to
you
be
have
honest.
17 seconds.
I'm gonna take $5 million. Just because, hey, why not get the money?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You name your price.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. Man, my story idea is, real quick, it's kind of like just basically Arrival. It's a next Arrival. They actually start communicating
Sold
with the aliens.
For $5 million.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey.
We got a little segment called The Name Game, and I'm imagining Kanye West's Blame Game playing right here.
Mm.
Let's play The Name
We're just
Game.
Gonna see if we can,
I love it!
Yeah, we're gonna see if we can run down the rest of that song, but for now we're just gonna do the segment.
Just All right. in case Kanye West.
So we're gonna go around the table. We each have to say a name of a person in this film that we recognize, and we will go in order, and whoever cannot say a name first...
If you stop,
oh, the stakes just got real high.
All right, no shot.
I mean, but maybe
Unless
a
we
shot.
Decide
maybe like
shot.
Half a shot.
All right.
You don't have time. Like, you got to just go. If you pause, you lose.
Okay. Who starts? I'll start.
Okay.
Martinez.
Damn it. go.
You're out?
No, you're up next.
Oh, Santos.
Nancy.
Lanahan.
I'm out.
You're out.
Andre.
Coconut.
What? That is not a name of a person in this film.
For sure not a name.
I'm pretty sure it was.
All right.
It was the guy who got the coconut powder all over his head at the beginning of the movie.
That was not coconut. That was your name for coconut. That was not his actual name.
There's no such thing as coconut powder.
Okay, I'm going to Google that and we'll get back to you on the next segment.
There's Kearns.
Yeah, I think
there's
that's
Santos. Coconut. Did someone say Santos. You said Santos? Yeah. Well, because that's Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, obviously.
Makes sense.
You just had to start with Martinez.
Okay.
I know.
Okay,
I had to choose one that
Martinez
everyone else was in,
like,
say.
But we obviously didn't do very good on this game, so I have another one for
okay,
us.
Let's go. We're halfway through the commercial
okay.
break.
Something that you spent $4 on that's worse than this. $4 is the price it costs to rent this film. I've got two.
You have two?
You can start with one.
All right, let's hear it.
So I don't know that I spent exactly $4 on either of these, but I for sure have bought music by Imagine Dragons.
Calling out Imagine Dragons. That's
and
great.
And I have also purchased episodes of the show Scandal.
Wait, okay. Is Scandal not good?
Well, it's not great, and it's definitely not something I'm going to watch again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I've heard okay stuff about Scandal.
Scandal's fine, but it's also like I've watched it with a like maybe slightly more attention I've spent on this movie. So
okay.
But maybe I'll just focus on the Imagine Dragons one. That
yeah,
one more than anything.
I think
anything.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I think that's a great one. Andre, you have anything?
Yeah. I had last month we ordered freeze-dried corn. And I couldn't find it, and so I reordered freeze-dried corn, and then I found the freeze-dried corn later. Well, Scout found it. It was to be fair, the delivery person left the freeze-dried corn in a bush.
Yeah, and
like,
our dog
in a bush, not by a bush, like in a bush.
Our
and
dog,
the dog found it.
Yes.
But now I have like a pound of freeze-dried corn, and I have never used it before, and I will probably never use it again. Guys, this is the second to last commercial break.
Well, also, this commercial break repeated because TNT
a little issue.
Had an issue.
Is not the best streaming app. So,
no,
Ben, now we can
know.
Hear about bad things you've spent.
Yeah, you
TNT knows
minutes.
Drama, and they're just building
TNT
it up right
does
now.
Not know streaming. Here we go.
I would probably say, like, my $4 purchase that is worse than this film, there's not a lot.
Uh-huh.
Thinking about over the course of my life, there's
sure.
not a lot of purchases.
Sure.
I've made that are worse than this film would have been. So, with that being said, I would have to say, like, oh, man. I was going to say, like, a McDonald's burger. But, like, really thinking on it now, I might actually enjoy that more. Because
yeah.
it's, like, it only takes me maybe, like, 5 minutes to get through a McDonald's burger. And this film is taking a lot more of my time.
Okay, dig deeper. Is it some random type of alcohol that you've purchased for us to try at some point?
Oh, definitely not. I enjoy every purchase of parody and funny alcohol I've purchased for us.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are always a good time.
Like, I enjoy them even if we don't necessarily enjoy them, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fair.
Have you ever paid, like, a $5 cover somewhere and you wish you hadn't gone?
I've only paid a cover at one place, and it was for a restaurant that was actually really good.
Okay, so that one doesn't
yeah,
work
that
out.
Yeah, doesn't work out so much.
Not the best one.
So I think what it's boiling down to is that this is the worst $4 purchase you could possibly make.
At $4, yes. There was a Chinese restaurant on Capitol Hill, Seattle, called Lucky Eight.
Oh, we've been there.
And that was probably the worst purchase I've made at a restaurant in a good long time.
Under
well, that
$4?
Restaurant doesn't
it was
exist
not under
anymore.
$4. It was like $20, but I would prefer to watch this movie over eating at that restaurant. So, like,
yikes.
Take your pick.
Well, it doesn't exist anymore. So,
thank
like,
goodness.
You're good. You could watch this movie again, Ben.
I'm okay. Don't suggest
it's
that.
It's free
please,
on TNT.
Leanna, please. Please.
You could please. You could actually watch it and get back to us on what it's about.
Because I still don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
we got a minute left here. Just quick around the room. What percentage of lines... Wait, did we already do this?
Well,
I'm
yeah,
losing track now.
No, okay. We haven't done it.
What percentage of lines have you actually listened to?
Yeah,
understood.
Like, 12%.
Okay, wait. Have we done what percent of lines were yelled versus spoken?
No, we haven't done either of those.
Okay, that's 30%.
Leanna?
Wait, 30% yelled?
I don't know.
I'm going to push 60%.
I'm going to say 80% yelled.
Okay.
And I've understood about 10% of those.
That's fair. I feel like we've done these before. And the reason I can't keep track is because I feel I'm in this, like, time hole where, like, I'm watching this film and, like, I'm not certain that the real world is still happening outside of me because
I think the biggest thing is this film feels so repetitive. Like, there's nothing unique just or interesting about this film.
So I can't keep track of where I am.
It's the same thing over and over again. So it's like 2 hours of exactly the same thing.
Okay, we're back in the final sequence.
Okay, well, we'll see you when this movie's done.
We'll see you on the other side. Our
final thoughts.
And thank goodness the film's over.
Oh my god, it's over.
With that film.
It doesn't feel like it's over because they just flew some helicopters to like another war zone and I thought the movie was going to pick back
up. Yeah.
Like they were definitely setting up for like, hey, here's the sequel where they actually beat the aliens.
Battlefield LALA. Battlefield LLAA.
What does that stand for?
It's like two. There's two L's and two A's.
Never seen that. Have before.
Los Angeles.
I mean, what I like about that is they're actually bringing like an iota of creativity to the film.
Because
there's
nothing
there already.
LALA is kind of fun because it's like New York, New York, LALA. Maybe this is like the city the aliens set up that's like a city within the state of LA, but.
In the state of LA.
So we're just going to cut that part.
Fix it in post.
There was something we were going to talk about with this movie that we haven't covered.
I'm going to break this up into two bits. Okay. One, I'm going to give everyone a single moment to like go off about this film and like keep it to a single moment. Mm. And then one, I want your shining light for what was your favorite thing about this film.
And when go off, you mean like your least favorite thing about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you have to contain it to a single point. It can't just be like a critique of the film as a whole. It has to be to a, like, single element within the
story. Oh, like a scene or, like, a thing?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Is everyone on board with this?
I'm ready.
So, like, we get both sides of it here. I'm going to start out with the negative. Then we're going to go to the positive.
Okay.
Mm.
Someone want to start?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good.
You're good?
I can do
You're starting?
Yes.
Leanna,
I hated how in all of the action sequences where they were shooting at something, the objective was so unclear. Especially for a film where it feels like it has been sponsored by the Marines. It feels like we should be able to understand where and who the target is a little bit better. And yet, it oftentimes was just a lot of lights and explosion. There's one scene in particular where we were all looking around and just like, what is happening? Like, it felt almost seizure-inducing. There were so many lights and just quick takes and shaky camera angles and
like I feel like it's important to remind both of you that there was a moment in this movie where they were actually like underground and it took about all of 5 minutes for them to like shoot that scene and then completely forget about that scene.
Yeah,
but there was like an underground sequence for a period of
time. And like a bunker or something like that.
Well, like they went there and there was like a lot of eggs down there or something like that.
It was in the water. They were in water. Yeah. But anyway, my biggest critique is that part of the tension that an action film should have is that you know exactly what the good guys are looking and aiming for. And that search to find it and to get it and to hit it is part of the tension. And I didn't feel any of that in this film.
That's fair.
So that's mine.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. Mine is, there's this thing I've heard, I feel like it's, so you remember things in chunks. Like, that's why your life feels to, like, it moves faster later in life than it does earlier in life, because earlier in life, your life is broken into smaller chunks, like second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and then it becomes, like, 5 years at this job. 8 years living in this house. Like, you remember all of your life in chunks. And this, same thing with movies. There's like, you remember this scene and that scene. This whole movie was the battle scene, the war scene. A singular I remember chunk. Nothing about it because yeah. it's one chunk. Damn. And I don't remember like different parts of it because it was all people fighting in the streets. Like that was the entire movie. At least with like...
And there was nothing to differentiate each yeah. scene.
And we've been watching a ton of like superhero movies, and this is like a common critique of superhero movies is like battle scene, battle scene, battle scene. But at least it's like battle scene, like one-on-one, battle scene with a ton of people, battle scene in the air. This was all battle scene in a gritty street with aliens that you rarely see.
The like, exact same no palette change. Every scene.
Yeah.
Like it's that grayish sandy color yes. over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
So it just, like, I feel like I've been sitting here for 2 hours, but, like, I just watched one scene.
Yeah.
And it was the battle in the desert yep. city scene.
Yeah.
So that's my complaint. I feel like I didn't experience anything.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, I think my critique is, like, this film does an interesting, like... As we've mentioned before, this film seems sponsored by the Marines, but it does a weird job of looking at violence and warfare as a whole in that it does so in a way that like glorifies the weapons themselves in that mm-hmm. like the final scene of the film is them reloading their weapons and re-gearing up, and it's this moment that should feel like a great bonding moment between friends mm-hmm. as they come together, but it feels more in glorification of the weapons that they're using as opposed to...
And going back into war, also. And
without understanding the impact and all the lives that they've lost yeah. on the way, mm-hmm. it seems
no
more
No moment
like,
of reflection.
Let's just, like, let's re-gear up and not, like, give a moment to the plethora and handful of people we've lost along the way, because... There were definitely some deaths.
Martinez, other people.
Yeah, like the issue is like none of those people actually had anything.
Michael Pena.
Mean.
That was Martinez, wasn't it?
No.
No.
Oh.
We okay. never understood his name or paid enough attention to it.
We lost both Michael yeah. Pena and Martinez.
All right. Let's flip it over to the good side. Shining lights.
Okay.
Favorite thing in this film.
My shining light was Martinez, but it was specifically...
It was Martinez?
Yeah, so specifically...
I thought Martinez was Michael Pena, so I don't know who Martinez is anymore. Tell me more about him and I might remember him.
He was the husband of the wife who was pregnant.
Oh, he like rubbed her belly a lot at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't remember Martinez. What guy it was, that's but Martinez. I remember that scene. I remember that chunk.
He was leading the mm-hmm. Marines until he died, and then Aaron Eckhart took over.
And Aaron Eckhart kept telling him that he was in charge now.
Exactly.
There were 3 or 4 scenes
so
like that.
So while he was in charge, mm-hmm. he was my favorite because whenever something would explode, they would cut to his face, and he would just have this like look of shock with his mouth open, just like... And they would always hold.
What's exploding?
Yeah. I feel like they expected to build that character up, but yeah. they never went anywhere.
But they just died. They would hold for like a good 3 seconds of him just kind of shaking his head, mouth open. I can't believe this is happening. And it was so reliable that it kind of became...
Comedic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, that was my shining light.
There's something I've been digging for it, and I caught like a thread of something I liked in this movie, and I lost it. So
oh,
let's
was
go
it
to
the
Ben.
End of the film?
No.
Was that your favorite bit?
Because you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, no, I remembered what it was. At the beginning of this movie, like, it was so shitty.
No.
And like, it had this like TNT badge in the bottom left corner, and it kept cutting to commercials, and I just was laughing to myself because I felt like it was a made-for-TV movie. And, like, I was watching TV, like, in the good old days with cable and commercials and, like, logos in the bottom left corner and low-quality movies that were made for TV. And, like, I was laughing for, like, the first 10 minutes of this movie because of how bizarre it felt to be watching a movie with the channel's logo on it. And it was a shitty movie and it had ads in it.
So your shining light was because of TNT.
My shining light was like, I felt like I was watching a movie in 2006. right? Like, that's how it felt, didn't it?
Like, when was the last time you watched a film with commercial breaks?
And the network's logo in the corner.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think I, like, may have, like, sat through half of Finding Nemo 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
It was just on TV just because...
Like, in a hotel room?
Yeah, that seems like appropriate. Yeah. Where it's like, you just don't, like, you have to kill time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there was also a point where my parents would record a movie on a channel that would have commercials, but they would use the DVR to skip through the commercials. Yeah. So
right.
It's not quite the same thing.
No, because you're still able to skip them. And granted, we found our own way to skip through the commercials this time by talking through them, but still.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. What was your shining light, Ben?
My shining light would be, while inconsistent and definitely, like, unilateral, this film was, like, handle diversity in, like, a surprisingly okay way.
Okay.
In that, like, there was a decent diverse cast of people from a lot of different backgrounds that actually had speaking roles. Now, if you...
And named characters, too, because they all had title cards.
Yeah. And so it's, like, surprising in a weird way.
I noticed that.
A fair number of them die, and also it is very unilateral in that there's, like, only two women that actually speak in this film, so it's, like, a selection of diversity is, like, very male-oriented and very straight-focused and glorifies armies and that entire bit, but...
None of the women are fridge. None of them talk about romances.
Also doesn't pass the bet.
No, because women don't talk to each other because there's not enough women for that to actually happen.
So
it almost felt to me, it almost felt like they brought Michelle Rodriguez in because they didn't have any women.
They needed something.
They needed someone. And so then the whole point of her character was to be like, hey, look. She's also a...
One of us.
Yeah, she can do this too. And it's kind of like, well, yeah. You okay.
Yes, okay, sure.
Right, even her being introduced as like a, oh, hey, we found another regiment out in the field. Like, we found some more actors to add to this movie.
We saw
a piece of trivia that said she was added to the movie like 2 weeks before filming started, so... It's no wonder that she was tacked in to the movie. Like, and we found some more soldiers out in the field.
I'm so glad that she was in the film, but it felt so forced. It felt so much like, wow, we realize that we made a mistake by not casting women in a film.
Yeah.
So we're going to get one and we're going to make her super badass, which I'm, obviously pro badass women in film, but it felt like they were just like, they kept being like,
yeah.
We got one. We're good, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is all to say that, like, this film just feels so creatively bankrupt. Like, it's hard to imagine someone, like, this being their pet project and the movie they've always wanted to
bring. I wonder how the screenwriter feels about you saying creatively bankrupt, because he tried so hard to bring humor and drama into this.
Yep. Well, where was the humor?
But in the end, it doesn't even matter. There was no humor in this film.
I'm trying to think.
There was that one scene where they were making fun of that one guy who's never had sex, and that other guy threw
up. Oh, man, that was funny.
Yeah, that was real good. That was a good moment.
That was...
He knows comedy.
There was no payoff. There was no payoff later. There was no payoff in that scene, and I thought maybe they would kind of call back to it later, and...
Two things I understood from this was that TNT knows drama, and that screenwriter knows comedy.
I wonder how actual Marines feel about this film.
Well, they were consulted and acted in
like that's the weird. I mean, all right, they were probably consulted in like very specific bits that don't make for a good movie. But I can't see them like sitting down and actually enjoying this film.
Yeah, I don't know. Except for the ones who actually were in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is this too close to their lived experience that it may be a little...
It might be. Too close only to comfort. Their enemy is human instead of alien. And so it's...
Maybe just off enough.
Especially because these aliens had a real mechanical component to them, so they almost felt like robots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I'm making a huge assumption here, but as a Marine, if you were to watch this film that was supposed to be, you know, had marketed itself as lifelike, this is what it's like to be a Marine in a battle zone.
Yeah.
It might be hard because it's actually that much harder to be a real Marine where you're fighting actual humans versus these mechanical creatures.
Sure.
Yeah. And to hear and that was they were going for that like warlike
context. Yeah. And that was going to be my guess as far as who did they make this film for? Who did they make this film for?
The Marines, I think, because the Marines, they got really excited and they showed it off at camp.
There just was
I
like,
told you a trivia fact. I want to say Pendleton, but I know that's not
that's
right.
That's not correct. Was it camp, a camp near L.A.?
No.
Because that would make sense.
Camp Johnson, maybe? They.
It started with a P. It sounded
I thought so. Well, whatever. They had some Marines who were extras in this movie, and as a thank you, they showed a clip of this movie to that camp.
Seems like a bad thank you.
It does seem like a bad thank you. Although it would be really exciting because I bet the clip was like the clip that they were extras in, and everyone got really excited to see themselves in a movie.
And then they actually watched the film and they were kind of bummed about it.
Yeah.
About the whole thing. I think like the creative team just went like so off board from the idea that they were going to make like a realistic war film, but of aliens attacking Earth. And I think that was the moment where like this film got off track, because I don't think they had the talent to shoot an actual proper and good war film.
I know, it's so funny that you bring this up having just seen Dunkirk.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. Which is like a real...
Was Dunkirk better? Worse? Like, where did, like, kind of Dunkirk
fall? That's a great question.
Here?
I mean,
yeah,
that's a tough one.
Versus Battle Los Angeles. Where do you stand?
That's a very tough one. I will be honest. Just me here racking my brains about what could actually be the better film between those two movies.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to give it to Dunkirk.
Oh, wow.
Dunkirk? I know.
Wow, surprising.
Very surprising. Very surprising.
Okay.
But, gonna give it to Dunkirk.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's probably just because of the...
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, yeah,
probably Tom Hardy.
Not Harry Styles?
Yeah. No. No. Probably Tom Leonis Hardy.
Made it clear that she's a Harry Styles fan.
I have not.
Tonight. Yeah, you have. You've mentioned him a couple times, like, Harry Styles.
Because I think it's funny that he's in a
Is that
movie.
What she said?
Yeah, she did.
Harry Styles is actually decent in Dunkirk.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like, the
Do
biggest
you think
surprise.
He looks
Andre's just
Dunkirk?
Giving me a look right now, and I don't like it.
No?
Okay. No.
Okay.
You know what the funniest thing I've heard about Dunkirk is?
What?
There was a tweet about Dunkirk specifically, about someone imagining Dunkirk being about a man who is actually just like really angry at all the people dunking. And so instead of it being Dunkirk, it's like Dunkirk.
Oh, okay.
Like he's irked
sure.
about
yeah.
people dunking.
I get that.
It's a good bit.
Yeah, that's
nice. I enjoy
nice.
It. I enjoyed that single tweet that I am going to...
You can retweet it, and you can see it on the Munch Twitter.
Are you gonna do the closeout?
No, I don't know how to do it. Ben knows it.
Yeah, Ben does know it.
Are we closing this out?
I think so.
I think it's time. What else are we gonna say about this?
There's not much more to
say about this. It was a battle. It was a 2-hour war sequence.
I just you
like,
guys.
That's what it was.
Guys,
it
war sequence. Like, all right.
I'm
no,
really
there was
just
there are people yelling, whispering, and shooting at buildings. Like that was the whole thing.
And also, let me say, there's not like a lot of good war sequences. Like war is inherently a.
I know, but there's ones that evoke emotion, and there's Battle LA.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
All right.
I think before we close out, I just wanted to, like, have a formal apology for having picked this film.
I wasted my
iTunes Roulette on this.
You learned from iTunes Roulette on this.
I did, yeah.
So what are you going to do differently next time?
I'm going to...
Also, may I posit a suggestion here?
Sure. Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, like, don't rely on Andre and I's opinion
as much as you did.
Yeah, you pick, you do you.
You do you.
Well, I think I did fine up until I had to choose between The Martian and Interstellar.
Uh-huh. I think those are very similar movies. I think either one, you're fine.
No, the issue is that I should have picked Interstellar because Matthew McConaughey would have been a more interesting actor to bounce off of. And I shut myself out of that, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I learned my lesson.
Next time.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's easy to feel like you made a mistake on iTunes Roulette. Because as you click through the
That's
movies,
you see
good movies.
That's a good tagline
good
for
movies.
This game. It's easy to feel like you made a mistake.
iTunes Roulette.
iTunes Roulette.
It's easy to feel like you made a mistake.
Yeah. It's fun.
Which is all about what iTunes Roulette is supposed to. Like, it's not supposed to be
iTunes
easy
Roulette.
Thing.
It's a learning experience.
For sure has. And now we can all
iTunes
say,
Roulette. Steep learning curve. Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah. That's it.
We've talked about a two-hour movie for an hour that felt like a
decade.
Yeah.
This has been another episode of the Munch Podcast in our continued month of magic, also known as Magic Month. You can find our content at getmunchedup.com, where we are posting a total of 3 movies all related to magic with some great writing and photos. So take a look at those.
Does this still fall under Magic Month?
Yeah, this is for sure Magic Month.
Okay, because it started with Elmo's magical music.
Aren't we
magic
posting,
journey.
Aren't we trying to post it this Friday? Or soon?
I guess.
So that we get this content up? Make Magic Month
while it's relevant.
Magical? Yeah.
Like, while this 2011 movie's relevant.
Yes.
Get it
seriously.
Up.
Seriously. You can find more, like, our social media profiles at Get Munched Up on Twitter, Get Munched Up on Instagram, and Get Munched Up or Munch Blog on Facebook. We are also on Pinterest, just throwing that out there. And we would always love it if you send us comments, questions. We'd love to answer them to getmunchedup@gmail.com. Finally, if you could rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, that is very helpful for us.
Rate us based on how you feel about the podcast and not how you feel about the movie.
Yes.
Because we want 5 stars and not like 2.
1.
Yeah,
or
1 to 2.
Or none.
Somewhere in there.
If none's an option.
None's not an option. You have to click on a star to initiate the feedback sequence. Yeah.
Finally, if you were to set a battle in a city, what city would that be? A la Battle Los Angeles.
Well, I think a coastal city is important because I think having some part of a naval scene is good. I think LA was a good choice, actually, just this film was very bad. So maybe, I might actually choose Seattle because, one, that's where we all live, so it'd be fun to watch.
You said that like,
about.
I came up with a fun idea. The city I live in.
No, but the reason I'm thinking that is because, like, SpaceX is here, Boeing is here, and so it could be about, like, Seattleites using their local resources and
you always forget
rising
that.
To the challenge.
PACCAR.
Yeah.
What's Amazon.
That? Yeah.
Boeing.
I was thinking Seattle because it would be fun, like, Battle Seattle or Seattle Battle.
Yeah, that's got a nice ring to it.
Good ring.
No, but I feel like I have to do a different city, and I'm going to do... Come back to me.
Okay. I'm thinking Battle Atlantis.
Oh.
Like,
ooh.
The issue that this film has was it was too rooted in reality. They need to, like, take it underwater, go, like, supernatural with it, and go a completely different route with it.
I'm thinking we gotta go something like Battle Grand Canyon. Aliens land on one side, humans are on the other, and then you got a big canyon in between the two of you.
And you
how
all
do you
have
deal
to
with
take
that?
A very treacherous horse ride down to the bottom.
Oh, horses. Okay.
Is this like inspired by like 17776 and the...
Oh, yeah, maybe. Like subconsciously. I wasn't thinking about it, but I could see that.
Or is it inspired by Cowboys and Aliens?
That, I don't even think subconsciously inspired it. That's a movie I haven't seen for a long time.
Have you actually seen it?
Yeah, me and my dad used to just rent whatever, and we rented that.
I think that's how I watched it, too.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
It was a different time. It was when Redbox first came out.
All right.
It was like that's between fair. Redbox.
That's a good Redbox movie.
It is. It is.
That's a lot better than
this
Battle Los Angeles.
This was basically Cowboys versus Aliens.
I think you're giving like Battle Los Angeles too much credit.
Yeah, I think exactly. So. Like
Cowboys and Aliens is better than this.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we're going to close this podcast and have a good day.